Morning. A child of God. How do you get to be a child of God? We're going to find out today, later on in the gospel, and one of the other gospels as well. And being a child of God. I don't want to do my whole sermon right now, so let's hold off on that. Okay, well, welcome here this morning. Whether you're here physically or you're also here online, be welcome. And we just pray that God's presence would be felt in a very real way, that it's going to affect your spirit while you're here, that you're going to leave here in better connection with Him to go out and proclaim His name to this world. So, yeah. Also, All Saints Sunday today. Did anybody not get one of these cards? We have these available. You can write someone that was special to you and maybe affected your faith as you were growing up or something in the past, and maybe a sentence or two about how this person did so. I'll read some of the excerpts here later on when we observe All Saints' celebration, but why this person was important, how they lived, what they did. We have these available. So anybody still need one of these cards? You did not get one? We certainly have some here. We got a bunch of pens out in the hallway you can share and borrow from others. Okay. So yes. Alrighty. So let's find out more about being a child of God through our readings. Welcome the reader to come forward.
First reading is from 1 John chapter 2, verses 28, and chapter 3, verses 3. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that we are what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now that we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have hope for Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Here ends the reading. The second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put death to the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you will live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies that with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may be also share in His glory. Here ends the reading.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And He took the children in His arms, place His hands on them, and bless them. You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward here. Any children, come on up here real quick. Let's hear from you. Hey, Braden, come over here. Right up here. Come on. Come on. There we go. A whole bunch of kids here today. Outstanding. Come on up. Okay, well, we just heard about Jesus talking to the children a little bit ago. And your children. So you know what it's like to be a kid, right?
Yeah.
What's some of the good things about being a child? What's one good thing?
Math.
All right, we got the green microphone here, Dallin. All right, he said math. Math is a good thing about being a kid. I love it. What do you think?
About learning in school.
About being in school?
Learning.
Learning in school. Okay, cool. Ezra, what's good about being a kid?
I don't know.
You don't know? What do you think is good about being a child?
Toys?
Okay. We get to play?
Same thing?
Okay. All right. What are some things that are not so good about being a kid? What do you think?
Grown-ups telling us what to do.
Yeah.
Having annoying sisters.
Easy there. All right. What? You had your hand up right away.
Not eating sweets.
Not eating sweets is tough about being a kid. Okay.
Be nice.
Being nice. Okay. So, yeah, listening to what grown-ups say. But guess what? They say what they say because they care about you. Yeah. They don't want you to eat too many sweets because they care about you. They want you to go to school because they care about you. They tell you to be nice to your sister because they care about you and about her. Because the parents know best. But, you know, do grown-ups always take the time to talk to you guys?
No.
Okay, not always. But Jesus does. And we heard that today in the gospel. Jesus, the little kids were trying to come to him, and he said, hey, let them come. I want to talk to them. I want to bless them. You got your hand up.
Only one treat per day.
Only one treat per day, huh? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Ezra.
Ezra, okay. So anyway, Jesus will always take time for children. Jesus will always take time for you. If you talk to Jesus, he's going to take the time and listen to you, and he's going to respond.
Oh, yeah, but the greatest thing about kids is gaming.
Huh? Okay.
And be nice and share.
Be nice and share. Hey, I'm going to hand you the microphone. That's wonderful, okay? So anyway, just remember that Jesus loves you, he cares for you, and he'll always take the time. He is like this great person that always takes the time to be there for you, be there with you, because he cares and he loves you. All right, you guys get to go to children's church, so come on out there with Beth and with Jill, and I'll see you later, big guy. All right.
I'm 6 years old.
6 years old. Wow, way cool. All righty. Lord, we thank you for children. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here in your name and in this place as your children, Lord, as those who have accepted you. So we ask that you'd bless us with understanding, that we may become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, got to love kids. I mean, the honesty, the innocence, the trusting, and the willingness to say preen or anything. You always take a risk when you hold this in front of a kid's mouth, okay? And today it worked out. Thanks, God. Okay. But there's always a risk there for sure. All righty. So, yeah, Jesus loves the little children. We've sang the songs. We see it in the gospel today. And John also, the Apostle John, calls people children, right? That's how he started his the portion of his letter today. And now, dear children. Dear children. It's been a while since we've been kids, most of us. But you still remember what it's like. And we got to see what it's like. Not really having so many worries, not having so many fears, knowing that your needs are going to be provided for. What a wonderful deal. And if we're children of God, our needs will be provided for. We don't have to live in fear. We shouldn't have worries. We still choose to have worries many times. But if we trust in him, we shouldn't have to worry, right? All right. So, and now, dear children, continue in him. Continue in your faith. Continue in his ways. So that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. He is coming again. For us who are believers, that's good news. For others, not so good news. We can be confident and unashamed. We have given our lives over to him as Christians. We have nothing to hide. Everybody else is going to be trying to clean up their lives that last second, shoving everything in the closet, right? Okay, making it look good. Look good on the outside. But guess what? Jesus already knows what's in your closet. Okay? So that technique doesn't always work. Maya wanted to go to a friend's house yesterday and said, you got to clean your room first. And she did not shove everything in the closet, I'm proud to say, this time. Okay, so that was great. But as humans, we have things we don't want others to see, and we don't want God to see, but you know that's senseless because he already sees it, he already knows. So come clean about those things with him. Confess your sins to God. Tell him, hey, I know I've been doing wrong. I want to do better. Then actually go out and repent. Do better. So that when he comes again, you'll be confident and unashamed. You'll have nothing to hide. What a wonderful deal. You don't have that stress. You don't have that worry. You don't have to worry about someone finding out, right? Okay. Well, again, God already knows. All righty. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. All right. This is referring back to John 3, that we're being born again. Yeah, we were all born of our natural birth from our mom. But we have this chance then to be born again if we accept him and what he's done. And we have new life. We're kids again. We have this second shot. No matter how badly you've screwed up, no matter what you've done, you give it over to God, you got new life. You got that second chance. For some of us, maybe it's a third chance. Maybe a fourth or a fifth. It takes a while for it to sink in, right? School of hard knocks. You know, we got to learn the hard way. But eventually, if we do fully give ourselves over to him, he's got it, all right? And he totally forgives. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers your sin no more. You are a child of God, and now you're embraced by him and living in that. And how great is the love of the Father has lavished on us? Okay, we show our love to kids in a number of different ways. Of course, keeping them safe, keeping them fed. Yeah, absolutely. Those are the expected things, at a minimum. They're going to be safe, and they're going to be fed, hopefully. Not all kids grow up in an ideal environment. As foster parents, Jill and I have dealt with many who have not been safe and have not been fed. And it's far from an ideal childhood. The trauma that goes with it and the PTSD and everything else, it's real, even in little kids. And even in kids that are too young to understand, right? They've just been neglected because the parents are into drugs or something like that. It's really sad. We take these kids in and then just try to show them, here's what it should be like. Here's what it can be like. You are loved. You do matter. And that's in part what Jesus was telling to those children in the gospel today too. You are loved and you do matter. Sometimes as humans we may not feel loved and we may not feel like we matter. But with God we do. As his child, you are loved and you matter. And the Father is lavished on us, okay? So some people show their love to kids by giving them these big, elaborate gifts and things. Yeah, it shows love, I guess, or concern. But I think one of the greatest gifts you can give kids is time. One of the greatest gifts you can give your spouse is time. One of the greatest gifts you can give to others is time. And one of the greatest gifts you can give to God, your Father, is time. Take that time. We get so caught up in looking at little screens and hitting little buttons and stuff like that, that we lose the human element many times. Now, of course, the cell phones didn't exist back in the time of Jesus, but he would have set all that aside just to be around these kids. We need to spend that deliberate time with others, genuinely, to show them that they matter, to show them that we care. I'm not just talking with kids here. Maybe it's with your mom or your dad or your grandpa or your grandma. Spend that time. How better can you show that you care, right? Giving of yourself, giving of your time. And ultimately, that's what God did. He gave of himself for us, right? So that genuine giving, not elaborate, rich gifts. If you're blessed with that, yeah, go ahead, I guess. But giving of yourself and of your time, that's great. So how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? Okay, how do you get to be a child of God? Not everybody is. Not everybody is a child of God. We were all children once. Most of us growing up now, at least on the outside. Okay, but we're to be a child of God. Well, we turn back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. We're going to find ourselves an answer here. The opening to John, just, it's classic and it's great. But 12 and 13 here from John chapter 1. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. To all who received him, those who believed in his name, receive and believe. That's it. Receive and believe. Receive him. Some reject him. Some have not heard about him. Some might receive but not believe. This is both, right? It's an and. It's not an or statement. This is an and. Receive and believe. To all those who received him, to those who believed in his name, does both. He gave the right to become children of God. So that's how you become a child of God, by receiving. It's not something we earn. To receive something, you don't earn it. To receive a gift, do you earn it? No. It is given to you. You simply have to receive it. God gives this amazing offer to people, this offer of eternity with him, this offer of forgiveness of sins, this offer of peace and hope and joy in this lifetime, having confidence in this lifetime. It's an offer. All we have to do is receive it and thank him and believe. It's that simple. Why do we make it so complicated? It's that simple. So that's how you become a child of God then, by receive and believe. And this is what we are, children of God. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. All right, the world doesn't know us. The Christians back then were sort of set apart. The rest of the world, non-Christian at that time, was just a growing religion. And they were different. They were not conformed to the ways of this world. We should be the same today. We should be different. We should sort of stick out a little bit by being a little different, okay? When everybody's into these other things or whatever goes, no, we're a little different. We're going to be holding the line, standing firm in this. Do not be conformed to the ways of this world. Look at the ways the world's going right now. All the crazy stuff out there, all the crazy beliefs, all the crazy philosophies, all the crazy things that they not only accept but promote and celebrate that go against what Scripture. Yeah, it's crazy out there, but we should be different, right? So, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. Another change is coming. But we know when he appears, we shall be like him. This next change then, when we go on to be with him for eternity, will be restored to the original intent. God made a perfect world. He put people in it, and his intent was great. And it's going to be recreated in heaven. We're going to have this perfect world, this perfect place. And with, believe it or not, perfect people, because there will be no sin. Yeah, I can't be perfect. Well, yeah, in this world we can't. But in the next, we will, because sin will not exist. Read in Revelations. Everything restored to the original intent. As we were discussing that Tuesday morning, I was just thinking of people that suffer in this life, say from a learning disability or a developmental disability, something over which they have no control. In eternity, then, that will not be there. It won't be. It'll be back to the original God's intent. And I'll just think of the joy of these people that have faced this. Maybe they've had some sort of syndrome or neurological disorder. They can't help it. But they are restored to wholeness. There are going to be no disabilities in heaven. You're not going to see one-legged people around there, okay? You're not going to see people with learning disabilities. Everybody's going to be restored to wholeness, to the original intent, the way it's supposed to be. And that's going to be pretty cool. I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to hear some of the stories. And better yet, it says, we shall be like him. Wow. Okay, again, we can't do that on our own power. As hard as we try, we're still going to sin. We can get rid of intentional sin. Maybe you've been living your life in a way that you're intentionally sinning against God. And you can repent of that. You can come to him and be free from that. Now, we're still going to sin. We're still going to screw up. But it's not that intentional, deliberate sin. Okay, but here, both types are gone, right? We shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we're improving, right? We're trying to get better. Like Wes said at Bible study a couple weeks ago, I already referenced it, I know. But Lord, help me to be today a little bit better than I was yesterday. And if that's true every day, you're just getting better and better, aren't you? Maybe it's incremental. Maybe it's just a quantum amount or something like that. But hey, it's still progress, right? You're not backsliding, just to get better and better every day. And as Christians, once we've given our lives over to God, yeah, that should be in us, that we want to be more like him, that we're going to love God and love others. That sums it up right there. Children are already also addressed by Paul in Romans here. and again that we are children of God. So in our lesson today from Romans, if you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body or the sins of the flesh, you will live. So God's Spirit coming into you is going to make some changes. Going to rearrange some furniture within you, but in a good way, okay? Many of us maybe don't like change, and you know, it's understandable. But when you let God rearrange the stuff within you, maybe get inside your brain and rearrange stuff, better yet, okay? This could be arranged to the right way of thinking. He's going to arrange that furniture to the right way, and things are going to go a lot better. We're living by the Spirit. We're controlled by the Spirit. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God, right? Led by the Spirit are sons of God, right there. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a son of God. Having given yourself over, you've not only given your life over, you've given control over. Lord, take me and use me as you will. I am yours. I'm no longer mine. Just use me every day, however you want. I offer myself up a living sacrifice, like it says in Romans 12, and invite you, Lord, to use me in any way you can. I'm giving control over to you. To do that, we also have to be tuned into God, tuned into his frequency. And a lot of you remember car radios back in the day. As you go down the road, you had to tune it, fine-tune it a little bit, right? And it starts to drift a little bit. You had to fine-tune it the other way, okay? And we have to be tuned to that frequency. Maybe you got to put a little tinfoil on your antenna or something like that, right? We got to tune into God's frequency. We have to be able to hear from him clearly because there's a lot of other messages coming at us right now. And especially to our youth, pray for them. They are hearing so many other false messages. Again, this is truth right here. Got any questions about what's a true message and what's a false message? Here you go. It's in there. If you want me to sit down with you, stop and by any time, give me a call, whatever. I'll be happy to do so. But yeah, God has given us that the real message, and we have to be tuned into that. And also make sure your antenna are up all the way, right? You know, I hit the old rabbit ears on your television. And if you extend them all the way, guess what? Hey, it works better, right? So let's have our antennae extended all the way too, that we can receive those signals from him more clearly, that we can be in resonance with the Spirit, that things get confirmed. We just know as it happens. We feel it within us. And it's great when you hear something and it just gets confirmed, just resonates. You're going, okay, thanks God. Yep, that one was truth. And that means you're hearing from him better. And that's great. For you did not receive a spirit. We have a spirit within us, God's Spirit, that makes you a slave again to fear. A slave is controlled by others. A slave is controlled by others. You're no longer a slave to fear. You're not controlled by fear anymore. You can depend on God. He'll always be there for you. He'll always be there with you. So you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. That would be a spirit from the dark side. And they are out there, those spirits from the dark side. And you got to learn not to hear those, right? Not to tune into that frequency. But you received the spirit of sonship. Again, to be a child. Sonship or daughtership, if you will, okay? To be a child of God. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Greek word Abba, for father, it's not a formal term. It's more of an endearing and intimate term. Sort of like daddy. Okay? You can call someone father. You know, that's an official type thing. He's my father, but my daddy. That means something. Okay? That's got an emotion attached to it. That's significant. So by him, we cry daddy, father. Abba, father. I've even heard people recommend that when you pray, you try that sometime. Hey, daddy. Instead of saying father. Again, that intimate connection with him. I don't know, it doesn't come easily for me if I try praying that way, but maybe with a little practice. But what father doesn't like hearing from their kids? What mother doesn't like hearing from their kids? And what God doesn't like hearing from his children? Think about children. There's something, children, something we take pride in, right? Something that matters to us. A child, you want the best for them, so you're going to discipline them in a right way to guide them in right paths. And God disciplines us as well, but because he loves us and because we matter to him. And that's what Jesus showed in the gospel today, too. We'll get to that in just a moment. So the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Again, the Spirit testifying with our spirit, we all have a spirit within us. Better said, we are all a spirit encased in the carbon-based life form. The real us is the spirit in us. What you see on the outside, this is just the exterior, what you see of a person. It's just like this is all a support system to give life or keep the spirit alive in a way. But no, the spirit lives even without the biological part. When this body passes away, our spirit lives on. So that spirit testifies when we are, that we are God's children. So the spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, testifies with our spirit. Again, if they're in tune with each other, one moves, the other resonates. It can feel it. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Okay, someone who is adopted or an heir has full rights. And we're basically adopted children with God. And we have been given all rights then. We're just treated like any other. We share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Okay. That part's hard for me to relate to, sharing in his sufferings. How many here have even really suffered for their faith? I would wager that not many. You look at what's happening in other countries where people are beheaded for their faith. People are imprisoned for their faith. Back in the times of the Romans, it got really ugly for believers when Nero blamed them for the fault of the fires in Rome. They were persecuted, they were tortured, they were put to death in many, many, many cruel ways. And you read about it in the Bible. It's not pleasant, but it was real. I can't identify with that part. I find it hard to relate to suffering for my faith. I'm blessed to live in a country where I can stand up as a Christian, live in Christian ways, and no one's going to torture me, persecute me, or even really talk bad about me, well, maybe that, for my faith. We're blessed here to have the First Amendment to the Constitution, which gives us the right to worship whenever, wherever, and however we want. Not just for Christians, but for anybody in any belief system. And this country has that right. And the First Amendment was created to protect us from the government, that the government cannot tell us what to believe. And that is a good thing. You want the government telling you what to believe? They already tell us too many things, right? They tell you how much to pay in taxes, what you can do, what you can't do. They're making more laws all the time, but they cannot tell us what to believe. Nor can they hinder our practice of faith. It doesn't give us the right, it acknowledges the right. Okay, you want to get into the grammar a little bit, right? It acknowledges that we have the right to believe as we want. Does the Constitution give us rights? Maybe it acknowledges the rights. That might be a better way to put it, okay? We have the rights came from God. If you want to go into the Declaration, right? The Creator. Okay, so yeah, the Constitution enumerates a number of rights that we have, the right to bear arms, the right to worship when we want, all these other amendments. You can read through them, and they're a good thing. We're blessed to have them. Alrighty. So yeah, it's a good thing that the government can't tell you what to do. But sharing in his sufferings, yep, that's one that, I don't know, maybe someday Christians will be persecuted, but we've been pretty doggone blessed here. Thank God for that. Okay, finally, we've been talking about children. Let's look at Jesus' take on this. Children in the biblical times were valued, yes, it was a good thing to have many children, but they weren't given many rights. They were sort of looked down upon. They were sort of a nuisance, sort of a bother, is the cultural thing that was going on here. So people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him bless them, but the disciples rebuked them. The disciples are following Jesus because he's got this wonderful understanding, tells these incredible parables, and he speaks for God. It's sort of like, hey, this is grown-up business, kids. You wouldn't understand. What Jesus is saying is really important. We need to hear from him, and it's grown-up stuff. You're just not going to understand. But Jesus said, no, he rebuked the disciples. He corrected them and said, hey, let the kids come to me. He made time for them. Let the children come to me. And the children are drawn to Jesus. There's something special about him. He was loving. He was accepting. And he probably had this twinkle in his eye when he's dealing with the kids. I can just imagine him down on their level, just connecting with them. And the kids just feeling the warmth, feeling the love. And what else are you going to feel from Jesus? Warmth, love, compassion. They recognize it. They get it. We as adults, we got adult thinking, but the kids just, they just know that this Jesus guy, there's something about him, that I am loved, that he has compassion for me, that I matter. The kids didn't matter in that culture, but with Jesus, they did. So for the kids to feel that I'm important and I matter, that's a big deal. So let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Think of the traits of a child, that they are trusting, that they are loving. Okay, the kingdom of God belongs to people like that, where we trust God, where we love God. We just give ourselves fully to him. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Again, the word receive. Receive the kingdom of God. We don't earn it. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good deeds to earn the kingdom of God. Again, it's something that's offered to us. We simply have to receive. Say, thanks, God. I'll take you up on that. And I'm going to turn my life around in honor of that to show you how much I thank you. So anyone who will not receive, and again, you're not earning it. This is a gift. It's a one-way deal. It's from God to us. We are saved not by works, right, but by faith, through by grace through faith, that no one may boast, as it says in Ephesians. And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Imagine being one of those kids. Jesus takes you in his arms. Wow. Wow. Putting his hands on you and blessing you. The children mattered to him. They were just one other group of marginalized people back then. The women were marginalized, the children were marginalized, a bunch of the sinners certainly were, but who did Jesus hang out with? Sinners, kids, the ones that everybody else looked down on. He took the time for them. He got on their level. And the same is true for us. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, he's willing to take the time for you. He's willing to get on your level, to be there, and to just listen. To show that he cares. To show that you're loved. To show that you matter. Amen.